Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program on a very good day in America. The Supreme Court finally gutting affirmative action, and that is great news for America. And we're going to be talking about this. We're going to be opening up the phone lines. Also, a great victory for religious liberty on another case that happened to be unanimous. It's a landmark victory for a postal carrier, and we're going to be talking to the attorneys representing that individual this hour of the program. But again, the big news coming down, the Supreme Court voting along the conservative majority with the big win here, 6-3 is the ruling that you cannot use race to determine college admissions. That is unconstitutional. It is illegal. And I know that there's a lot of anger out there among people like Michelle Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, Al Sharpton. But the reality of it is this: we are a better country when we have the best and the brightest that are being selected for our nation's schools, our nation's institutions of higher learning. And my question is very simple. Let's just say that you're having root canal surgery, right? Would you rather sit down in that dental chair? Would you be more comfortable knowing that the dentist that was about to plunge into your mouth was a person who was well qualified, or a person who was admitted to dental school based solely on that person's skin color? I don't know about you, but if somebody's going to be sawing inside my mouth, I would like to know that they were actually qualified to do the job. And the good news here is this is a great victory for America. Now, the spin that's happening in the drive-by media is rather humorous. But keep in mind, this is not about white people. This is not about people of the Caucasian persuasion. The court case that the Supreme Court decided on was about Asian American students. And this is what's fascinating, is that Asian American students, among the most brilliant, the best and the brightest, were being denied entry at Harvard and the University of North Carolina, UNC, strictly because of their skin color. That in and of itself is racism. But again, the beneficiaries of all of this happen to be black and brown students. So therefore, it is in their minds, it's not about racism. Because you see, it's all about making sure that public universities have a fair number of black and brown students. And if that means super smart Asian American kids can't go to college at Harvard, then so be it. They don't care. Now, I know that Barack Obama is really upset about this. As a matter of fact, Obama put out a statement just a little while ago, and he says that affirmative action was never a complete answer in the drive towards a more just society. But for generations of students who had been systematically excluded from most of America's key institutions, it gave us the chance to show we more than deserved a seat at the table. Well, no, sir, that is not what it means, President Obama. It means that everybody should have an equal shot. This is not about equity, right? But the Supreme Court justices on the left say this is all about equity. And they are enraged. And, man, we're going to get into the Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas just went after Ketanji Brown Jackson. I mean, it was really amazing, his approach on all of this. And Clarence Thomas has a right to be upset about all of this, because he is one of the most brilliant legal minds in American history. And this man has this stigma attached that he only got to where he got because of affirmative action, when in fact that was not true. Now, it seems to me that if you're Barack, well, it's really, no, let me take that back. Barack Obama got to where he was because of affirmative action. But there are others out there who did not. They did not get to where they were because of their skin color. They got to where they were because of their abilities, because of their intellect. I'll never forget this story. I will never forget this story. It will be in my memoirs. I was on the campaign trail traveling with Barack Obama. Fox News had assigned me to travel with the Obama campaign during that election cycle. And we were traveling all over the country. There would be these massive crowds of people, tens of thousands of people coming out, much like the scenes when President Trump goes to town. There was that much excitement. There was that level of excitement out there. And I would wade into the crowds. I would do this at every event I went to. And I would wade into the crowds, and I would ask people just a very simple and genuine question. Why is it you're voting for this man? Why are you supporting Barack Obama? Why are you coming out? We were in beautiful Fort Collins, Colorado. KCOL carries my daily commentaries out there. And it was a beautiful autumn day. The leaves were golden brown. It was just a beautiful scene. And tens of thousands of people came out. And to the person, no one could tell me why they were supporting Barack Obama. Nobody could. There was not a single policy they could name that resulted in them voting for this guy. It was really this cult of personality. But then I got to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and there was some sort of a big stadium event, and I did what I normally do, which is leave the White House press. We weren't the White House then, but leave the press bubble, and I waded into the crowd. And I wanted to talk to the real folks, right? You know, not the high dollar folks, not the big Democrat Party leadership, but I wanted to talk to the rank and file. And this was a predominantly black crowd. And I'll never forget sitting down next to a lady. She happened to be an elderly black lady. And I said, "Why are you supporting Barack Obama?" And that woman looked at me with this quizzical look in her eyes. And she says, "Why do you think I'm voting for this man?" And she gave really the most honest answer of all. She was voting not based on ability, not based on intellect. None of that factored in. There was only one reason that she was voting for Barack Hussein Obama. And that was it. And you know what? That's great. I mean, this is America. You can vote for who you want to vote for. You don't have to have a good reason or a bad reason. If that's who you want to support, that's who you want to support. But the reason why Barack Obama was getting a lot of support was because of his skin color. So what the Supreme Court did today is they readdressed this, and they said, "Hey, wait a second. This is un-American. This is unconstitutional. You can't deny an Asian-American child an education at Harvard University simply because they're not black. You can't do that. That's against the law. That is illegal. And that makes it a great day for America." But we have a long way to go here, folks. I mean, this is far from over. You know, I remember when I was a teenager, I worked at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits. I had the summer job there, and I actually enjoyed that job. I worked my way up to, I was a hard worker, and that was the year I got my first pickup truck, and I had to pay for insurance, and I had to pay for gas. And so I had to get a summer job, and that summer job ended up becoming a long-term job. And then after I finished working there, I would go over and help out at the local newspaper office. So I was a pretty busy guy, you know, as a teenager. And, the newspaper job didn't pay anything, hardly. And so I needed to work at Popeye's Fried Chicken and Biscuits so that I could, you know, pay for insurance and for gas and spending money. And so anyway, I remember I started out in the back, and I was the guy that had to take the chicken, and I had to mix it in all the spices. And I'll never forget my hands I think that was my sophomore year, junior year in high school, were orange because of all the spices. It was sort of weird looking. Anyway, I got promoted to, you know, up the food chain, and I became a cashier, and then I got to be the guy who made the biscuits. So back in the day, Popeye's Fried Chicken, they would put the biscuit maker in the front, and they had this big window so you could literally watch the biscuits being made. Had a blast with that. Got a 25-cent an hour raise. This was back in the 1980s. And anyway, I was called in one day. I busted my butt. I was really, really dedicated to that job. Anyway, one day, the manager called me in and said, "Hey, look, we're thinking about promoting you to being an assistant manager for the weekends." And I was overjoyed. I mean, it was more money. I could use that money for whatever, you know. And so, anyway, a couple of weeks went by and I got called in to the manager, and the announcement was made that another person had been given the job. And that person had not been working as long as I had been working there. That person had not been doing all of the jobs, so they did not come up from the you know, washing all the stuff to the doing the seasoning of the chicken. None of that stuff. So they had just gotten hired, and all of a sudden they were the ones that were promoted. That guy was promoted to being the assistant manager or whatever, or shift manager or something of that nature. And I was really disappointed. I was kind of thinking I was going to have that gig. And so anyway, I got called in, and the manager pulled me aside, and he said, "Look, let me explain this." And he said, "This is about," and I don't think he used the term affirmative action, but he said, "The only reason you're not getting this job is because you're white. You know, you're well qualified, you're very talented, you're a hard worker, but we can't give it to you because you're a white kid." And I was angry. There was literally nothing I could do about the color of my skin. I worked my butt off, and what are you going to do? And that was my first experience with all of that. And I remember it like it happened just yesterday. Now, in the great scheme of things, you know, it didn't really have an impact on the kind of person I became or the work I eventually started to do. I still enjoy Popeye's Fried Chicken and biscuits. Personally, I'm a Bojangles man myself, but that stuck with me. Imagine being an Asian American kid. You work your butt off. All you do is study. You work hard. You do research. You go above and beyond. You're checking every single box to get into Harvard. And then you find out that you can't go to Harvard because there's another kid, a minority, not nearly as smart as you, not nearly as accomplished as you, and yet that kid's going to get the spot. And why? Because of the color of his skin. And today the Supreme Court stepped in, and they stood up for those Asian American students. And they said, "You know what? We're not going to let that happen in America. That's against the law. And we're drawing a line." And by the way, I just want to say thank you to President Donald J. Trump, because without his picks for the United States Supreme Court, today would not have happened. And those Asian American kids, instead of going to Harvard, would probably be forced to go to a community college. So thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, President Trump. All right, we got to take a break here. We're opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We will be taking your comments on this story as well as others throughout the day. This is the Todd Starn Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, folks, coming up in just a few minutes, we're expecting to hear from President Biden as he talks about this affirmative action ruling by the Supreme Court. I wonder if he is going to invoke any of his former friends in the KKK and the segregationist movement, right? Robert Byrd, some of the Dixiecrats. Maybe he'll invoke some of their from some of their wisdom. So anyway, we'll dip into some of that coverage if we can understand what the president is saying. Unfortunately, this is radio, so we can't do subtitles like TV. By the way, did you hear the news about Biden? So the reporters, everybody's going after him now. So the gloves are off. Obama gave the signal. He gave the code. So now the mainstream media is going after Biden. And they noticed that there were these indentations, these weird markings on his face. Turns out that Biden's got sleep apnea and he has to wear the device at night so he can breathe when he sleeps. And Biden's apparently not been sleeping very well. And if I wish I would have known this, because on this radio program, we do care about people's health. I know that Jesus done slid off his cracker, but Joe Biden is still a human. And yes, he may have porridge for brains, but, you know, it's not his fault. This is just an issue of old age, very old age. And he can't help it if he's decrepit. But if I'd have only known that he was having trouble sleeping, I would have personally purchased a MyPillow and sent it to the White House. And I guarantee you the president will be sleeping like a baby. MyPillow.com/Starnes, by the way, if you want to sleep like a baby, that's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And be sure to use my promo code Starnes, and you're going to get all sorts of great discounts, including on the incredible MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free. So I don't know if the president, if he's a sweaty sleeper, but if he is, we will be happy to send him a MyPillow 2.0, which has this cooling technology woven into the fabric. And I think the president would be sleeping like a baby. So anyway, we'll check in with President Biden here momentarily. You know who this is a great development for? And a lot of folks haven't thought through this. What is the percentage of Caucasian players in the National Basketball Association? Has anyone done the math on this? It's what, 0.1%? And that's what, about 1%, 2% of the NBA basketball stars are of the Caucasian persuasion. So again, I mean, according to the NAACP, we have to live in a nation where it's all balanced out by percentages. And therefore, there was a lot of people out there saying, you know what, if that's the case, then we need to have more white players in the NBA. Now, yours truly, Todd Starnes, I'm more of a college basketball guy, but I believe that it should always be the best and the brightest. You always want the best and the brightest on your team. You want the most athletic person to be on your basketball team. So if that means I'm fielding a team with all Asian players, then by golly, let's do it. Or if it's all black players or all white players, I say let's do it. So I've always supported the NBA. I believe they have a right to pick the best and the brightest. And if 99% of their players are black and the reason they're in the NBA is because of their ability, then I say what's wrong with that? But there are people out there saying, no, we need to have equity in the NBA. Equity in the NFL. Equity. Folks, I'm telling you. So this is great news because now the NBA is free to go about their business the way they've been doing it, and they've only been selecting the best and the brightest. And why would we not want to select the best and the brightest, right? All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844 877-847-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code STARNES or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNES. All right, America, welcome back. Hope you are doing well today. And it is a huge day and a great day for liberty in America. The Supreme Court delivering this huge ruling on affirmative action and also a unanimous landmark victory for a postal carrier by the name of Gerald Groff. He was represented by some incredible attorneys, including our friends over at First Liberty Institute. Kelly Shackelford is the president, and Kelly joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congratulations, Kelly, to you and all of the legal team that was behind this great case.
Well, thanks, Todd. It was, we were hopeful, but it exceeded our expectations even. It's a major, major, as you said, it's a landmark decision, one of those kind of every 50 years decision.
Let's talk about this case and take us back to day one. Mr. Groff was a postal carrier, and he believes in observing the Sunday as Sabbath day. We understand the post office started delivering Amazon packages on Sundays, and that's where the problem started.
Right. He came off the mission field and wanted to work specifically at a place where he wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath, which would violate his faith. And so that's why he picked the Postal Service. And, of course, that's the way it used to be. And then all of a sudden they started doing Sunday deliveries with Amazon. And he said, look, I'm asking for an accommodation because I can't violate my faith. And there's federal law that provides this protection. And he said, I'll work double shifts on Saturdays, on the times that people don't want to work, holidays, everything. And he was willing and was doing that, but they just decided they didn't want to accommodate him and really ran him out of his job when it wasn't necessary. And it really clicked into play, Todd, a 46-year-old opinion that had really eviscerated the protections for religious freedom in the workplace. It was a wrong decision, and it had left kind of people at the whim of these woke corporations and all these people that are abusing people of faith. Well, that today has been overruled. That 46-year-old opinion really has been totally flipped, and now there's a much greater level of protection for everyone in America who's a person of faith from this happening to. So it's not just limited to a Sabbath. That's what happened in Gerald's case. But really, Gerald's win today benefits every person of faith who works in the country.
This is tremendous. And I know that you guys were all together when the ruling came down. Do they give you, I'm curious how that all works. Do they give you any sort of advance notice? Was this a surprise? Did you learn the same time the rest of us did?
Well, it wasn't a surprise. I mean, we know the court issues all of their opinions by the time they go into recess, and they're going into recess, usually July 1st. So we knew that all the opinions that were left had to come down by today or tomorrow. And so we kept waiting, and we had Gerald with us earlier this week when they issued opinions on Tuesday, but we had a feeling it would be today or tomorrow. And it was today. So we were in the room, you know, waiting, praying. And it's funny because it reminds me, Todd, of when last year at this very exact time, we were sitting in that same room with Coach Kennedy. And, you know, it's a weird, it's great to hear that you've won. But then immediately everybody wants to know, well, what does it say? You're trying to read a 60-page opinion or whatever and, you know, go through all the legal concepts and explain that. So it's kind of a fun but crazy time when you're sitting there with your client in what really are landmark cases. Coach Kennedy is that. It's a dramatic change, and so is the Groff case.
And as a matter of fact, Coach Kennedy, and we followed that case for years, as a result, coaches can now take a knee to pray as a result of Coach Kennedy fighting and you guys fighting alongside with him for all those years. And I'm curious to know how Mr. Groff reacted. What was his response when he learned of the ruling?
Well, he's like most non-lawyers. He knew he won, but it was very confusing to him that he was like, well, what does this mean? You know, because what happened, I'll just step back a second, Todd. When Gerald lost the case, it was because they gave him almost no protection under the law. They read the standard in a way that was very, very little protection to any American. And so he lost. Well, they threw out that standard because it's wrong. And there's a much greater standard now protecting people and religious freedom. But they didn't say, so Gerald wins. What they said is, you now got to go back down and under this new standard have the court, you know, reevaluate and, you know, hopefully rule in your favor. But it's like he's not done yet. I mean, he's done the major work for everybody else in the country, but his case is not totally over. He still has to go back down. He still has to show them, okay, this is the new standard, and therefore what they did was a violation of my faith. And so he wants to be done with this thing. He's been fighting this thing for years, and it's a strain on people when they have to fight, especially somebody as big as the federal government. And so Gerald was like, okay, it's not over yet, but this is a great victory. So he's just going to keep hanging in there until he gets his own personal victory as well.
I just think this is wonderful. And it's great news for First Liberty Institute as well. You guys represent these folks pro bono. So you exist thanks to donations from good-hearted people all over America. And folks, again, First Liberty, where can people go, Kelly, if they want to become a part and really support the great work you guys are doing all over this country?
Well, thanks, Todd. Yeah, they can go. The easiest thing is just go, you spell it out, firstliberty.org. At firstliberty.org, they can watch the videos. Like we're going to have, you know, more explanation of this. They can get emails that'll describe what's happening. There's probably going to be another really big decision tomorrow. They might not understand it. We're going to lay it out. That's going to affect all people of faith who are running their businesses. So it's just a great way for them to understand what their freedoms are. And also, as a nonprofit, they can support us so that we can help many more people win these cases and really all of us get more freedoms.
Yeah, Kelly, I'm curious. I mean, it has to be, I mean, even though you've done this for years, I mean, for you guys, it has to be a little intimidating going and arguing a case before the Supreme Court.
Well, absolutely. You know, most attorneys never get to do that. And so it's very, very rare. I mean, there were, I think, 8,000 requests for the court to take their case last year.
Wow.
It looks like they will have taken about 60. So your chance of getting a case at the Supreme Court is incredibly low. So that's why, Todd, this is so unusual. I mean, this for us now is three cases, three wins at the Supreme Court in 12 months. This tells you that, number one, you know, we're not that good. I mean, we're good, but this is something is happening. We are restoring freedoms right now in a major way. And this court's doing some good work in going back to the Constitution. And so that Coach Kennedy case, for instance, I mean, it was a great win for coaches and teachers, but it goes way beyond that because it threw out a 50-year precedent that had really made the government hostile to religion. And so things that we've always thought we couldn't do, like you can't have a nativity scene, you can't have a prayer after the football game, you name it. Those things are all allowed now. I mean, because the founders, they were all allowed were the founders too. So we're having some major changes right now that I just hope people are quick to catch up with and realize that they have more freedoms right now than they've had in their lifetime. And they just need to understand and start living out those freedoms.
Love it. All right. Well, Kelly, again, congratulations to you and the great team there. And folks, again, firstliberty.org. If you'd like to read more about the cases and also support these good people, I mean, they're making a difference in America, and they need every single penny that we can send their way. So, Kelly, congratulations, and we appreciate you taking some time today.
Oh, thank you for getting the word out, Todd. I appreciate you.
All right. Kelly Shackelford, president of the First Liberty Institute, also chief counsel for First Liberty Institute. Three major Supreme Court victories. They're not only fighting the good fight, they're picking the right fights to fight. You know what I mean? And that's been a big challenge, is that so many people are so passionate that sometimes, unfortunately, they just pick the wrong case. And either the Supreme Court rejects it, they don't want to hear the case, or you know, even worse, sometimes, you know, not able to win. But First Liberty, thank goodness they're picking the right cases here. So well done. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, I hope that you have made the switch to Newsmax. They have such an incredible lineup of host Greta Van Susteren, Rob Schmidt, Eric Bolling, and Chris Plant. They're giving you the truth every weeknight on Newsmax. Americans are turning to Newsmax for real news that you can trust. By the way, Newsmax has a national poll. They're asking about the legitimacy of President Trump's indictment. And you can take part in that poll by texting the word Trump to 39747. That's Trump to 39747. And make sure your voice is heard. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in the country, and be sure to watch for all the latest news and information on Trump and the 2024 presidential race. And be sure to vote in their new poll. Text the word Trump right now to 39747.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
Oh my gosh, it is so hot in Memphis, Tennessee. We're in the middle of a heat wave. And this is pretty terrible. It's going to be 100 today, but they say the heat index is going to make it feel like, I don't know, 115, 120. And we asked some of our great listeners on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, how hot is it? And we had some great responses. Donna says it's hotter than hell's doorknob. Michelle says it's hotter than fish grease. Oh, that is pretty hot. Katie says it's hotter than Satan's butt crack. That is hot. Probably smelly, too. Yeah, that's not good. David says it's hotter than a whore on dollar night. Yeah, I'll take your word for that. And, where was the other one? This is maybe my favorite. It's hotter than Hunter Biden's crack pipe. So there you go. Some of the, it's just hot. By the way, if you notice, they have all these, you know, the heat index and all this kind of stuff feels like it doesn't, it's just hot outside. But I think they do that to appease all these, climate change people, right? So back in the day, kids, pull up a chair. Sit around the radio. I'm going to have a conversation with you. So children, back in the day, when we had something called a snowstorm, it was called a snowstorm. There was not wall-to-wall breaking news coverage. It was snow. And we knew that a few days later, the snow would melt off, right? But now you have all of this, you have the Weather Channel, and they're doing the breakings, and it's not even just a snowstorm. Now it's Winter Storm Claudia. Wait, what? And by the way, have you noticed that the hurricane names are always stronger than the winter storm names? Honest to goodness, what was a couple of years ago? Winter Storm Dirk. Winter Storm Buffy. It doesn't like exude fear, right? I don't think I'm going to run down to the super low grocery store for bread and milk for Winter Storm, I don't know, Buffy. Winter Storm Shaniqua? Yeah, I'd probably go get some bread and milk. I'm just saying. Maybe it's just me. But I will say that if you have some recommendations on how Todd Stearns can stay cool, I'm going to need it because it's a mess over here. We had a big thunderstorm roll through. A lot of our listeners in the Memphis area still don't have power. We're talking tens of thousands of people. This is what happens when you let Democrats run your city. They let the infrastructure go to pot. We had 75-mile-an-hour winds, and the power was knocked out for 120,000 customers, which you can multiply by four or five to get the number of people who are actually in the dark. And now you've still got something like 25, 26,000 customers without power. Multiply that by four or five, and you get the actual number. But people are – it's tough around here. It really is. 90 degrees, 100 degrees, and no air conditioning. That's not good. All right, I think President Biden is speaking now. Let's go and let's take that some of that live.
Means because we know too few students of low-income families, whether in big cities or rural communities, are getting an opportunity to go to college. When a poor kid, maybe the first in the family to go to college, gets the same grades and test scores as a wealthy kid, his whole family's gone to the most elite colleges in the country, and his path has been a lot easier. Well, the kid who faced tougher challenges has demonstrated more grit, more determination, and that should be a factor that colleges should take into account in admissions. Many still do. It also means examining where a student grew up and went to high school. It means understanding the particular hardships that each individual student has faced in life, including racial discrimination that individuals have faced in their own lives. The court says, quote, "Nothing in this opinion should be construed as prohibiting universities from considering an application's discussion of how race has affected his or her life, but be it through discrimination or inspiration or otherwise," end of quote. Because the truth is, we all know it, discrimination still exists in America. Discrimination still exists in America. Discrimination still exists in America. Today's decision does not change that. It's a simple fact. If a student had to overcome adversity on their path to education, the college should recognize and value that. Our nation's colleges and universities should be engines of expanding opportunity through upward mobility. But today, too often, that's not the case. The statistics, one statistic, students from the top 1% of family incomes in America are 77 times more likely to get into an elite college than one from the bottom 20% of family incomes. 77% greater opportunity.
Uh-oh.
Today,
I think he's losing
for too many schools, the only people who benefit from the system are the wealthy and the well-connected. The odds have been stacked against working
okay.
people for much
too long. All right, enough
long.
Of that. There are a couple of things. First of all, he talks about all these poor people. Okay, what about the poor white kids, Mr. President? What about the poor Asian American kids? What about them? He says this idea that discrimination still exists in America. It's true. White people are being discriminated against now. Asian American kids are being discriminated against now. And it is not right. We should all be treated equally under the law. And that is simply not happening. And shame on President Biden for getting out there. And we knew he was going to do this. And they're going to try to. But have you noticed now it's not about race. Now they're talking about the economics of it all, the top 1%. Well, may I just say something here? I'm not sure these schools like Harvard and Yale and Penn and UPenn are all that elite. I mean, they're churning out some pretty stupid people. They're churning out a lot of morons. Quite frankly, I think we'd be better off if we had more people in charge in our government who went to a community college or a Southeastern Conference school. Or better yet, Liberty University or West Coast Baptist College or Truett-McConnell University, some good Christian schools. Maybe then the country wouldn't be going to hell in a handbasket. All right, we'll throw in Samford University, too, in Birmingham. That's a good school. We got to take a break here, folks. Hang tight. Hour two coming up next.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
We cannot let this decision be the last word. I want to emphasize, we cannot let this decision be the last word. While the court can render a decision, it cannot change what America stands for.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was President Biden just a few moments ago addressing the nation very upset over the Supreme Court's gutting of affirmative action. Welcome to the show. We've got a lot going on this hour. Want to head right over to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend from the great state of Texas joins us, Congressman Pat Fallon. Congressman, first, welcome, and I'd love to get your reaction to this breaking news coming out of the Supreme Court today.
Well, Todd, thank you for having me on. It's a long time coming. I thought we were supposed to be, you know, in our ideal, in an ideal America, we are a meritocracy where you advance on merit and merit alone. And the things that are immaterial, like your gender, like your pigmentation, your ethnicity, shouldn't matter at all. So, I mean, I welcome it. I just wish it had honestly been something that was rendered decades ago.
I think this is also great news for the National Basketball Association. I think they've demonstrated over the years they want to hire the best of the best. And I know there are people out there saying, well, we need more equity in the NBA. Well, I just say let's have the best and the brightest and the most athletic out there. So I think this is an affirmation of the NBA.
There's no doubt. You know, I find so, you know, if the liberals didn't have double standards, Todd, they would have no standards at all.
True.
Let's say that you have a liberal and they need life-saving brain surgery. Do you think all these concerns about race and equity and all this other garbage would be enter their mind at all when they have to make a decision? They would simply want the best surgeon. They wouldn't say, I want to make sure I have this gender and this race. They just think, give me the best because their life's at stake. So why shouldn't we have that standard, you know, applied across the board?
Congressman, we got a lot to talk about. Border crisis, the Biden family crime syndicate. But I do want to start with the border crisis. We are hearing reports all over the place of outbreaks of swine flu, monkeypox, and now even malaria, which is incredibly dangerous. And a lot of this is being linked right back to whatever is coming across that southern border.
Todd, you know, what I would love to see is a president of the United States that actually puts, as the former president did, put American interests first. Protect American citizens. There's no greater part of our oath that we take, whether you're running for city council, school board, or the presidency of these United States, than to protect your citizens. Why in the world would we let this? See, here's some stats. We've let, under Joe Biden, he has let in 5.5 million people. There's been 5.5 million encounters. 1.5 known gotaways, where they were engaged, they were stressed, they could not, to the limit, they couldn't engage people they saw crossing the border, so they document it. And then, we don't know how many of the unknown gotaways are, right? So at least 7 million people, probably closer to 10 million, have crossed the border under his watch. We don't even know who these people are. But we do know the cartels have made about $25 billion a year with their illicit drug and narcotics trafficking. They now make an additional $12 billion a year, so $37 billion total, on human trafficking. They charge these migrants to come across the border because they are in, you know, de facto control of the Mexican side of the border. And how does that affect America? Not only does it stress our public schools, our medical, our healthcare, but there were 75,000 Americans that died of fentanyl poisoning last year, and that almost entirely comes through Mexico, and it's made in China. And Joe Biden doesn't do anything about it.
Well, one of the reasons why is that I think he's beholden to a lot of people. We know that an untold number of Chinese nationals have been coming across that southern border. That brings me to the news that's been coming out. It's almost as if we're dealing with a raging firestorm of scandals that have enveloped the Biden family. John Solomon from Just the News has been reporting that he received some records from Hunter Biden, and in these Hunter Biden records was a cell phone number. He called this cell phone number, and when the guy on the other end answered, it turned out to be the big guy. It turned out to be Joe Biden himself. So my question is, why does the president of the United States have a burner phone?
Well, there's so much to this. You could teach a 3-credit college course on the Biden family syndicate. What really crystallized it for me, quite frankly, Todd, was 2 weeks ago when I walked into the skiff and read the 1023. They wouldn't allow us to take notes or take pictures, so I read it slowly 4 times. It took about 45 minutes, and then I walked out. I had a pen and pad ready, and I took copious notes. Everything that we've found from, everything we've heard from whistleblowers, discovered through our own investigation on the Oversight Committee, what the bank records show, and what this 1023 displayed, all confirm everything. It fits into it's like a jigsaw puzzle, and all the pieces fit perfectly. In 2019, Joe Biden built a firewall, and he said while he's campaigning for president, I don't know what my son does. I've never talked to him about business. I've never met any of his business associates. We know that to be patently false. I mean, and I can run through dozens of instances, one in particular. Miguel Magnani and Velasco, Mexican business associates of Hunter. Joe Biden, according to White House logs, showed him around the White House. There's a picture of them in the Brady House, White House Brady briefing room. So clearly he was lying, and there are many instances like that. But ask yourself this. What does the Biden family do? What service do they provide? What product do they sell other than influence, peddling, and access? And why would anybody that's legitimately running a business form 20 shell companies? Who pockets seed money? We knew a couple months ago that we could prove $1 million from foreign nationals. Now we can prove $20 million with payments to the Biden family. And who has 170 suspicious activity reports, generated on it? But the 1023 is really the kicker, because that is from a highly reliable, credible source that everything he's always fed to the FBI has checked out. And that is naked bribery. $5 million to Joe Biden, $5 million to Hunter. It's disgusting.
Congressman, there's been a lot of concern being generated about this, these two whistleblowers from the Internal Revenue Service, and one of them has gone on the record. He has sat down for interviews with CBS News and Fox News, and it's very clear somebody here is lying. It's either the whistleblower or it's the Attorney General of the United States, and I'm wondering where we are and what are the next steps here for the House of Representatives to take. What are you hearing from your leadership?
Well, either the Attorney General of the United States is lying, or a U.S. attorney is lying. It's either David Weiss or Merrick Garland. I suspect strongly it's Garland. And if we can get to the bottom of this, then I don't see how we couldn't begin impeachment proceedings on Merrick Garland, because it seems as if the top echelons of the DOJ, the FBI, and the IRS have been covering for the Biden family syndicate for the last nearly 3 years. And I thought we had equal protection under the law. I thought that was one of the foundational bases of our republic. And we have to protect that, because if we don't have it, we lose our republic. We're a banana republic. We're no better than some third world country that's a failed state. And that's what, we're in that kind of a death spiral unless we fight back.
Hmm. All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. It's a mess, and these events are unfolding rapidly, and we're going to be all over it. We appreciate you coming on the show today.
We're not stopping, Todd. We're just really scratched the surface. This is the tip
Good.
Of the iceberg.
Good. Well, we like to hear that. All right, Congressman Pat Fallon from the great state of Texas. And folks, the question I have is, what do you want to see the House of Representatives do here? I mean, it is open season now. So the mainstream media, they're coming after Biden. The New York Times, by the way, is independently verifying a lot of the information that's already come out. So they smell blood in the water. And the question now is, what do you want your elected leaders to do up on Capitol Hill? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to play some audio here. This is from CBS. They had the chief executive officer for Budweiser, and they have been really, really hurting big time. And Brendan Whitworth is his name, and they've been under fire. They're losing billions of dollars. Boycotters have literally decimated their sales. No, they can't even give this away. Nobody wants to be seen holding a can of Bud Light at all. So what happened? They apologized, sort of. They said, well, you know, we're going to go back to our roots. And then what did we find out over the weekend? Not only did Bud Light sponsor the Gay Pride Parade in Toronto, Canada, but they also had a float that featured a bunch of drag queens. So anyway, the head of Anheuser-Busch, the CEO, he's 50 years old, this guy. And he ought to know better. And here he is on TV talking about Dylan Mulvaney. This ought to be, I mean, they were lobbing softballs at this guy, right? They were lobbing the softballs. Cut number 8.
Given the moment we're in, this moment in America with trans issues at the top of a Republican social or conservative political agenda, knowing what you know now, if you could go back, would you send this can to this one person again?
There's a big social conversation taking place right now, and big brands are right in the middle of it. And it's not just our industry or Bud Light. It's happening in retail. It's happening in fast food. And so for us, what we need to understand is, deeply understand and appreciate, is the consumer and what they want, what they care about, and what they expect from big brands.
So this is a part of why you're getting it from all sides, because I asked you, would you do it again? And people on the trans rights side of things, supporting that community, want you to say, yes, of course, we want that fortitude. And people on the right would criticize you for saying yes. So where are you on the issue? I mean, was this a mistake?
You know, Bud Light has supported LGBTQ since 1998. So that's 25 years. And as we've said from the beginning, we'll continue to support the communities and organizations that we've supported for decades. Mm-hmm. But as we move forward, you know, we want to focus on what we do best, which is brewing great beer for everyone, listening to our consumers, being humble and listening to them, making sure that we do right by our employees, take care and support our partners, and ultimately make an impact in the communities that we serve.
Oh, my gosh. Folks, I'm telling you, it's over for Bud Light. All the guy had to do is come out there and say, you know what, guys? We screwed up. I mean, if I could use even more inappropriate language, I would, but I can't because we're on national television, but we blew it. I mean, we have fired everybody that was involved in this. Dylan Mulvaney will never, ever be allowed to even drink Bud Light. We're gonna send an injunction, and he is not even going to be allowed to drink Bud Light in public. That's how much we are appalled by this, and we're sorry. We have no excuse. We hired all these woke people. We should have known when we saw their pronouns listed on their resumes. We should have known what we were getting into, but we didn't, and we're just sorry. And we know that you guys may never, ever forgive us, but we're going to bust our butts. And you know what? We've already yanked funding. We will never, ever fund another gay pride parade. We're never going to have a man in pantyhose drinking our beer on national television again or TikTok. If he'd have come out and said that, I think the average American beer drinker would have said, all right, we'll give you another chance. But this guy, to come out there, he can't even be man enough to answer a simple question. What's wrong? What is wrong with this generation of men? You can't even answer a simple question. So, ladies and gentlemen, it looks as though we're about to see the demise of the most popular beer in America, and they could actually go out of business because they simply refuse to back down. And what did I tell you about? These radical gay activist groups, they are so powerful that for Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, it is better for them, in their minds, it is better for them to go out of business and send people to the unemployment line than it is to turn away somebody like Dylan Mulvaney. They don't care about offending you, but God forbid you offend Dylan Mulvaney and his like. All right, we got to take a break. We are opening up the phone lines. What do you think needs to happen here to Budweiser? You think the CEO, he botched it here, folks. Do you think they get another chance? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Oh, for crying out loud. So, the folks over at Media Matters, they've got a bee in their bonnet. Now, I get these alerts every time my name pops up in somebody's news story. And Media Matters are the worst. These people are slime balls. They're basically raging fascists. And they hire I don't know how many. It's an army of these 20-something-year-old guys. They've got the oily skin and the pimply face, and they sit in their mother's basements, and they monitor everything we say on the radio and everything we write. And then they take their all that information, and they've got their it's terrible. The computers they use are nasty because they've been eating Funyuns and Cheetos, and they've got that dust from the Cheetos and the Funyuns, and it stains their fingers, and that gets into the keyboard. It's disgusting. Anyway, that's who they hire. So I got an alert that they were all upset about something I had said about that New York City pizza issue, where you've got the tree huggers in New York City, and they want to crack down on all the pizzerias, get rid of the coal and fire ovens. And so anyway, I'm like, well, holy crap, what did I say? I was really fired up about it. So anyway, they did this huge expose, and I'm scrolling down, and it's all about Fox News. And I'm like, well, all right, what does this have to do with yours truly? Why am I mentioned in this scathing expose they've done on Fox News's coverage of the pizza crisis? So anyway, these morons over at Media Matters think that I'm actually employed by Fox News Channel and that I'm a host on Fox and Friends. No, I'm not. I am not making this up. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So anyway, I'm debating whether or not I should reach out to Media Matters and say, hey, I don't work for those people anymore. That's not me. So anyway, I'm getting attacked for something I didn't do. Well, that's not the first time that's happened. So there you go. Here we go. Speaking to pizza shop owners, Fox and Friends first co-host Todd Starnes quotes a climate denial shill. Wait, what? I'm not on Fox and Friends. What is wrong with these people? They talk about spreading misinformation. Well, Media Matters does. A bunch of raging fascist, disgusting people. All right, we're going to the phones next. We've got to take a break. Also, I've got an amazing American-owned business to tell you about. You're going to love this. And so hang tight. Jerry in Milwaukee, Ron in North Carolina, 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Progressive Insurance protects people's cars, homes, and other vehicles. But if you've ever seen our commercials or even just heard our name, you probably already knew that. What you may not know is that we support Humble Design, a nonprofit that furnishes homes for families and veterans emerging from homelessness. Because a little help goes a long way. And a lot of help. Well, you get the idea. Now, if you already knew all of this about Progressive Insurance, we're impressed. We'll have to find something else cool to tell you next time. Find out more about how we're dedicated to our customers and communities at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Thank you. All right, a little breaking news here. They're evacuating the front area around the Supreme Court. There's been some sort of a suspicious package discovered. And we've got some video we are efforting on ToddStearns.com. So check that out in a few moments and we'll have that up there. But again, the law enforcement now evacuating. It looks like they're even evacuating some of the news crews up there outside of the Supreme Court because of some sort of a suspicious package. So we'll keep you updated if there are any developments. All right. Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Jim in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Dad, how are you doing today? I really enjoy your show, but let me come across with something that just strikes me wrong. All I hear is mostly bashing one person or the other, or, you know, the different sex, different cultures. And I want to issue a challenge to anybody out there listening, including yourself and myself. Don't say anything unless you can say something positive or loving. I think America's tired of hearing all this nonsense about how bad somebody else is or how bad the pizza is. That's the last thing I heard just a few minutes ago. You know, the pizza, that's nothing should be talked about on live radio like this.
But well, why not? Look, but Jim, if they're going to try to ban pizza, and especially that delicious thin crust New York style pizza, Jim, I think we have an obligation to stand up and shout from the mountaintops.
Say it in a positive way, and I'm with you, brother.
Give me pizza or give me death. I think that's what Henry said, Jim.
We can just be kinder to one another on all levels, mainly on the national level and the politicians. It just, we pay these people to get up there and argue with each other about nothing. And it's really, you know, our tax money's going to waste. You know where I'm coming from. And I don't know if I got my point across, but we need more loving than hate.
All right, Jim, appreciate the call. I think you made your point there, and we appreciate you listening to the program. And as always, thanks for your kind words. But I'll tell you this much, folks. Those godless heathen tree huggers coming after our pizza, coming after our barbecue joints, there's going to be war. All right, let's go to Ron in North Carolina, WSIC, our great station up there. Hi, Ron, what's going on?
I just want to make a statement on what you said. What should Congress do with what they got going on? First thing they need to do is they need to make a law that puts the statute of limitations to 20 years from the date that the crime was committed. That means all the Biden family, crooked Hillary, and anybody else up there that's committed a crime can be taken to court, taken to trial, and sent to jail. If New York can change something to 20 years, why can't the federal government do it? Under the Constitution does say that you can't make a law and predate it. For example, someone spitting on the sidewalk, you make a law, spitting on the sidewalk is a crime, and then charge him with it. You can't do that. That's unconstitutional. And another thing is, I'm talking to you on Patriot Mobile.
Is that right? So you're calling in using Patriot Mobile?
Yeah.
Ron, that's fine. How are you enjoying the Patriot Mobile service? America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, by the way.
So far, no problem, and I'm paying half the price.
Wow. Ron, that, I tell you what, it's a great service, and I'm so glad you made the switch. I'm going to be sure to tell Glenn Story. He's the founder of Patriot Mobile. I'm going to be sure to pass along what you just said. So God bless you, and thank you for calling in. All right, folks. By the way, PatriotMobile.com/Todd is our website over there, PatriotMobile.com/Todd. And you just heard Ron. I had no idea he was on Patriot Mobile. That sounded great. It was a great signal. And the best part of all, you're paying literally half the price. So good for you, Ron. So if you'd like information, go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code Todd, and they're going to hook you up with some pretty incredible discounts and deals, and especially for veterans and first responders. All right, let's go to our good friend from Milwaukee, Jerry the Liberal. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Not surprising. I disagree with your take on Budweiser. People want to cancel Dylan Mulvaney and Budweiser, but because he's transgender. He didn't say anything. He didn't take any political positions. It's just what he is, what the way he was born. He was born into the wrong sex. I don't understand this. You don't have to drink this beer. There's no obligation. If a conservative endorses a product, I don't boycott the product just because a conservative endorses it or a Christian or whatever. You know, if I like the product, this obsession and focus upon is someone's transgender. All he is transgender. He's just living his life.
Like, No. He's mocking women is what he's doing.
No, he's not. That's what he is.
Well, we've had a lot of women. No, Jerry, we've had a lot of women call in and say, this guy is mocking what it means to be a woman, as if they, you know, they paint their faces like that and just flit about and do all of that kind of stuff. And the women say that this is embarrassing.
If I wear a dress, I go out and wear a dress, you might say, because I'm a heterosexual male, I'm a biological male, you might say, well, I'm mocking or parodying women. This is what he was born. He should have been born a woman. That's over. Dylan Mulvaney was born into the wrong sex. There's people just born into the wrong sex. You know, and there's identical twin studies that show that if one identical twin is transgender, there's a very, very high chance the next one is versus non-identical twins. So it's just people born in the wrong thing. He doesn't harm anyone.
He's certainly harming the bottom line over at Bud Light. And Jerry, I'm curious, why do you think people are so upset about this? I mean, I have never seen such a more successful boycott of a product than what's happening to Bud Light right now.
It's the very same people who are upset that gays had equal rights and had the ability to marry.
No, I don't think so.
It's exactly the same people. It's the same people lost on that. There's very few atheists.
I don't think so, Jerry.
Gender rights.
I don't think so. Most of those people do not drink alcohol. This is something very different here. This is not the religious community that's up in arms over Dylan Mulvaney and Bud Light.
I'll grant you, it's maybe not the completely religious community, because maybe there's some feminists, as you kind of alluded to, but it's largely. It's the Christian right wing. It's the same group. You guys are the same group. And I'm not saying all Christians, but those who are in the Christian right wing, I think it's largely the same.
What is the Christian right wing? I've never heard of that.
You're a member of the Christian right wing. You want the government to promote religion in schools, to have prayers. You oppose gay rights. You oppose transgender rights. Often they oppose the rights of Muslims building mosques in their own communities. You know what this is, what the Christian right wing is. It's what you are a member of, Todd.
Jerry, hold tight. We've got somebody that wants to respond to you, and normally this happens after you hang up. But let's bring in Joey from Atlanta here. Joey, can we get Joey on? There we go. Joey from Atlanta, you're on the air with Chris. Or with what happened to Jerry the Liberal? Did we lose Jerry the Liberal?
Hey, yo, Jerry, you still out there, Jerry?
All right, Jerry hung up, but. Joey, what's on your mind? What do you want to say to Jerry?
Jerry, these people, they're not trans. They're female impersonators, okay? That's number one. Number two, God doesn't mess up. He doesn't make mistakes. You're the one making a mistake by thinking that these guys can just, if it's Tuesday, I'm going to be a guy. You know, next thing we're going to know, we're going to have these people running the Iditarod wanting to marry their Malamutes, okay? You know, this is nuts. This is nutso stuff, okay? That's where this is coming from. It's coming from a dark place, Jerry. And if you don't see that, I feel sorry for you, okay? So that's pretty much the deal, Todd. These people are sick. They're twisted. They need help. I feel sorry for them in a way, but they do not need to be influencing what they're trying to take over here, especially when it comes to our kids.
These people are
coming for our children.
They are. Yeah, they are coming for our children. But, Joey, what is it about the Bud Light that's been so effective? That's what I don't get. I mean, you know, Disney's been doing this for decades. And, you know, the Christian community, they still go to Disney. They take churches down to Disney. But Bud Light, something. Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, here's what I make of it. What do you call a guy who's trying to act like a girl? Bud Light. What do you call a girl that's trying to act like a guy? Bud Light. Okay? They're not all buds.
Hey, Joey, we've got Jerry back on the line here. So let's try to bring Jerry into, and we just lost Joey. All right. Well, thanks, Jerry. I'm trying here.
It might be something with your lines, Todd.
I tell you, did we pay the bill or is it just China? I'm trying to, it's one or the other. All right. Well, Jerry, you gave it the old college try, and we appreciate you calling back in. Folks, we do need to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868. May I tell you about this great business? And I met these two ladies. They're two moms, great ladies, and they have an incredible business. It's called ohgrate.com, ohgrate.com, ohgrate. And they are some incredible chefs. And so now they do these, they have these incredible meals that they prepare. They're frozen and you can order them and they'll ship them to you. And I'm telling you, folks, it's some of the best food I've ever had. And it's really nice because some days, you don't want to go eat out at a restaurant. You just want to make something at home and maybe you don't have time or I'm not a very good cook. And they have all of these incredible meals, and all you have to do is thaw them out, put them in the oven, and boom, you're ready to go. Now, I swear by these ladies. Just unbelievably great food. And if you're going to order, and they have all sorts of things that you can order, all sorts of different meals. My understanding is the sausage biscuits are pretty darn good as well. It's Courtney Jones and Amy Bingham. One is a former marketing consultant, a mom of four, and Courtney is a former restaurant owner. She's a mom of two. And they're just good and decent people, and they have an incredible business. And I just want to give them a shout-out. They're not paying me to say anything. As a matter of fact, I go out and buy my meals just like everybody else. They are doing some incredible, great work and feeding a lot of good people, and it's just great food. If you order from them, may I recommend, and again, this is just my recommendation, you got to get the chicken spaghetti and the meatballs. The best food I've ever had. I'm telling you, really good stuff. And by the way, they have this poppy seed chicken dish that's pretty awesome as well. Oh, great. That's O-Grate, G-R-A-T-E.com. Ohgrate.com. And tell them you heard about them on the Todd Starnes Show. All right, let's go to Christian in Maine. Hi, Christian. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. It's Malik again.
All right, may I ask you a question here? And I don't mean to be, rude at all, but why do you guys do that? Why do you like to prank call the local radio stations? I'm just curious, Christian.
Because it's fun.
Oh, it's fun. All right. So are you like unemployed? Do you not have a job? I mean, we can help you find a job if you want to be gainfully employed.
I was employed until I said my coworkers all worship Moloch like you did.
Okay. I'm not following you here, Christian. Very bizarre, but here's what I'm going to recommend, and if you are, in fact, calling from Maine, let's put Christian on hold, but if you're calling from Maine, we can get you some help. If you're looking for a job, we can help you find a job, Christian. If you're looking for some psychological help, happy to do that as well, because clearly you are, what's the phrase that they use in Mississippi? Touched in the head. Just a smidge. All right, there you go. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to play some audio here. This is from Wisconsin. We should have asked Jerry the Liberal about this. So there is a state senator. Her name is LaTanya Johnson. And she's very upset. You know, there's been a big problem in Milwaukee where the suburban towns are fed up with the crime. So what's happening, and we're seeing this in Memphis, where Milwaukee, they're not taking care of the criminal element. So what happens? The criminal element is going into the suburbs and causing mayhem. And that's what's happening here in Memphis, Tennessee. So anyway, Senator LaTanya Johnson is just fed up with all of you people that live in the suburbs. And she was delivering a speech on the floor of the state Senate in Milwaukee. So this is why I've got to set this up for you. And she says, F the suburbs. We had to bleep a lot of this out, but she's saying, F the suburbs, cut number 13.
F the suburbs, because they don't know a thing.
And she used God's name
about how life is in the city.
Blank the suburb. You don't know a GD thing. Ma'am, I know your mother did not raise you to talk like that. You are a state senator in Wisconsin. Have a little bit of self-respect. Have a little bit of pride in yourself, ma'am. So anyway, now the Wisconsin Law Journal is calling for her to resign. And they're getting some bipartisan support on all of this. They actually believe that this woman has disgraced herself and the state Senate. And I think that's a pretty, you know, we had Jim from Georgia calling in and say, why can't we have a little bit of decorum? Well, it's a great question. But one of the things we try to do on this program is call out the left, because they're the ones that are out there doing all of this. And we're going to call them out every single time. That's what we're going to do. All right. Coming up in the next hour, we are hoping to reconnect with Dr. Ben Carson. He was scheduled to be on yesterday. We had some sort of a scheduling hiccup. But Dr. Ben Carson, we're going to be asking him about the Supreme Court's decision on affirmative action. And we're also going to be talking about a brand new book he's got up for children called Freedom of Bark. So that's Dr. Ben Carson, and he's coming up in the next hour. In the meantime, would love to invite all of our brand new listeners to head over to toddstearns.com. In the break, we have video now of the evacuation of the front of the Supreme Court. There's been some sort of a suspicious package. We will keep you updated on that, but also an opportunity for you to download our free podcast and also our free newsletter so you can stay informed about the big stories of the day. And one other thing, head over to our store. We have some great T-shirts, great ball caps, and all of my books are available. Happy to sign a copy for you. All you have to do is go over to toddstearns.com and check out all the great materials we have for you there. All right, folks, hang tight. We're going to get to your calls, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us this last hour of the program today. Hope things are going well wherever you might be. It has been, quite frankly, a great day in America. By the way, just moments ago, the Biden impeachment the articles passed a floor vote, now heading to committee for consideration. So let's hope for a very quick and swift action on Joe Biden's impeachment. And it very well may be one of several impeachments. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. Also, the left completely losing it. As a matter of fact, Harvard has just weighed in, and they are providing us a comment, a statement on the Supreme Court ruling today. And the Supreme Court ruled against Harvard. Harvard was actually selecting inferior candidates for admission. So, and this involved Asian American students, and they were being denied entrance into Harvard because of affirmative action. So anyway, minorities with lower test scores and lower all around, you know, whatever, they were admitted into Harvard while the very well qualified Asian American students were not. I guess according to Harvard, it's okay to discriminate against the Asian community. Anyway, Harvard now responding. The court also ruled that colleges and universities may consider in admissions decisions an applicant's discussion of how race affected his or her life, be it through discrimination, inspiration, or otherwise. We will certainly comply with the court's decision. Well, that doesn't bode well. That tells me that Harvard is going to try to find some sort of a loophole here. And let's get real. Do you really think Harvard's going to obey the Supreme Court on this particular issue? I don't know. Here is Al Sharpton over on MSDNC talking about this. Cut 14.
Well, I think that this is tantamount to sticking a dagger in our back, because what they have said now is that it is unconstitutional to even consider race. And given the racial history of the country, let's not act like blacks are behind because there's something in our genes that made us behind. It was against the law for us to even read and write until 160 years ago. We were enslaved 246 years. So it is to completely throw to the wind the history of why we needed affirmative action in the first place. Secondly, let's remember that affirmative action was a conservative remedy that came out of the Nixon administration, written by Art Fletcher. So now you have a right-wing Trump court, because let's not forget Trump nominated a third of the sitting court, 9 members, 3 of which Trump put on there, that is saying, well, we'll protect your voting rights on Thursday, Friday, and Monday, and then we're going to pull the rug from under you in terms of you being able to have an even consideration. We're not even talking about a mandatory, a consideration of race to higher education. My last point that really is frightening to me is now in the private sector, corporations, many of whom made pledges around the George Floyd movement that didn't live up to them, can now say, well, we can't consider race in terms of contracts and employment and board members and what we do in the community, because the court now is saying it's unconstitutional. This is a tremendous setback that must be resisted by every corner, including the Department of Justice and including states, because what they have said is that it is unconstitutional to even consider race.
All right, so a lot to unpack here with Al Sharpton. We don't call him a reverend here. This man is no preacher. This man is no man of God, Al Sharpton. He is an evil man. So anyway, Al Sharpton seems to think that blacks are still being oppressed in America, which is somewhat laughable. I live in Memphis, Tennessee. We are a majority-minority city. Everything in the city is controlled by black people. Everything. City Hall, the police department, the whole nine yards. And look, that's the way it is. People here, they vote along racial lines. They vote along Democrat Party line. That's it. If you're not a Democrat, you're not black, there's a pretty good chance you're not going to get elected here. And that's the reality of it. So it's laughable when someone like Al Sharpton comes along and says the black man in America is being oppressed, that there is a foot on his neck. And that's just, it's a lie. All you have to do is come to Memphis, Tennessee, and we will illustrate that for you, Mr. Sharpton. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, earlier in the program, I said thank you to President Trump, and I'm catching blowback now from the Ron DeSantis influencers on social media. I don't know if any of you folks are on Twitter, or you do the Twitterverse thing. But, man, is it getting ugly between DeSantis people and Trump people. And the DeSantis people are really trying to instigate stuff. Never seen anything quite like this on the Republican side. It's really scorched earth policy here. I mean, if you support Donald Trump, the team DeSantis will try to destroy you. I mean, that's literally what they're doing. Anyway, Candace Owens posted an item, and I want to share this with you, and this is really fascinating. She says, sorry to say, but the DeSantis campaign was dead on arrival, and it's time to admit it. Tons of mistakes. Needed to be more upfront about his intention to run. Doesn't come across as honest, and he's boring. You can say it shouldn't matter, but it does. He also needed someone more like Kayleigh McEnany rather than petty Christine Pushaw running comms. By the way, she's the one that locked us out. We're not allowed to interview Ron DeSantis because of this young person, this individual. The influencers that are still cheerleading for him are those that recently moved to his state and want to reap the benefits for standing firm beside him through his inevitable loss. I'm not knocking the influencer hustle, just calling it as I see it. They know he can't win either. Also, their weird takeover of their community notes gives people a fact-checker vibe. Sometimes the notes they add don't actually debunk anything, getting very Snopes-like. So anyway, and so then you've got other people that are coming out there, and they immediately start attacking Candace Owens. Now look, J.D. Rucker runs the Liberty Daily, a great website, great aggregation website, and here's what he wrote. I was excited about supporting Ron DeSantis in 2028. I think it's a blessing that we got to see him now, because if we waited until 2028, he would have had the nomination locked up early and we would have been stuck with him. He just isn't the guy. No sooner had he written that than the comms person for DeSantis blocked him on Twitter. So I'm just curious here. Are you seeing what Candace Owens is seeing here? Now, we've been pretty upfront about this. We support the nominee. Whoever the nominee is, they're going to get our support. I've already thrown in with Donald Trump. That doesn't mean we take cheap shots at any of the other candidates, and there's a reason why. I don't believe we ought to be taking cheap shots within the tent. We've already got enough issues with the mainstream media coming after our candidates. Why should we help them out? But I'm telling you, Team DeSantis is not helping their guy out at all. And I think this is a situation of a really great candidate who has been incredibly ill-served by his campaign team. That's what I think is ultimately going on here. But is it over for DeSantis? Do you see a path forward for Ron DeSantis as we move into the election and the primary cycle? Do you believe, like Candace Owens believes, that it's over for this guy? 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on that. Also, Dr. Ben Carson coming up a little bit later on in the program. You know, I've been talking for the past month or so or now, trying to get back into shape and doing all of that stuff, eating right. And this is one of the reasons why I've fallen in love with Balance of Nature, the fruits and veggies in a capsule. I don't have a lot of time to go grocery shopping, and I'm always throwing out a lot of the produce. You know how that is, or maybe this is just me. You go to the market, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy all these apples and oranges and whatnot, and then they just sit there. So I may be the only person in America that does that. But anyway, Balance of Nature gives me 31 whole fruits and veggies every single day at a fraction of the cost of buying them down at the Kroger. And I can tell you, since I've started taking Balance of Nature, I've got a pretty significant boost in my energy. So I want to recommend, check it out. You're going to love Balance of Nature. Balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com. Use discount code Todd. They're going to give you 35% off your first order as a preferred customer. You can also call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping always free. Be sure to use that discount code Todd. Let's go to the phones here. Joe in Arkansas wants to weigh in on Bud Light. So, Joe, why is it that people are really angry about Bud Light?
Well, the marketing woman, when she come on after they put it on her, I know people didn't like it because the transvestite was on the thing, but the main thing that got everybody mad about it, she come out and told everybody that basically goes to college, that drinks beer, all the rednecks, all the partiers, that they wasn't worthy of drinking their beer, that she was going to change the face of Bud Light and put it into LBQJFM people's hands, and they done figured out that them people don't drink beer. It's the people she made mad that drank beer is why their stocks is tanked and still tanking, because they keep pushing that issue.
It's a good point. I'm not sure what the, what did you call them, the LGBT AMFM people? I'm with you.
I would say it on the air, but you get in trouble.
I thank you. For, Joe, appreciate you.
Just take the A off and put the FM there.
Oh, just
think about it a minute.
Oh, I got you. I'm following you here. You know, it is interesting. I'm not sure. I guess they drink Cosmopolitans and Shirley Temples and Appletinis. I think this was a direct attack. Well, I think you're onto something here. I think ultimately this was an attack on good old redneck America, for lack of a better term, who actually was the base of Bud Light. And, they were wanting to go highbrow. And so they feel like they didn't. They believe that you guys don't matter, Joe. That's what that's all about. They just don't think that you guys matter.
And something else I heard over the pike about it, too, is that they just sold out the Bud Light division to another person, bought it out, and they wanted to get the wages down, get all the unions and stuff out. So that's another reason they did the pushback, so they can start eliminating people and get the wages down, too, is what I heard on this, too.
Maybe. Joe, appreciate the call, though, and it's a great observation you make. But, man, they just hate us. And by us, I mean the smelly Walmart people. That's right. That's what Peter Strzok, the disgraced FBI agent, used to call us. What Hillary Clinton used, another friend, the basket of deplorables, irredeemable. Joe Biden called all you folks the dregs of society. That's what he's, I mean, they hate you. They hate us. That's what they do. They hate us. By the way, may I just say, what I have never seen a sleazier man than Paul Ryan. This guy has no political soul. So anyway, he's going out there, and he and Chris Christie are tag teaming, and they're trying to take out Donald Trump. Cut number three, please.
About Trump and who the Republican should run.
Yeah, so I don't have that job anymore. So I'm very clear with, look, it's a disaster if we nominate Trump. You know, I think that I've been saying this for a long time. But Liz is right, which is he could win. I think we lose with him. I think we're much more likely to lose. We haven't won anything with him since he first won in 16. We lost the House in 18, the presidency in 20, the Senate in 20, and we could have won the Senate in 2022, but for him.
Are you going to endorse? Is Rupert going to tell you who to endorse?
No, I'm going to endorse whoever I want. But right
you're
now,
you're on the board of Fox. That's why I said it.
Yeah, I know.
It's a joke.
I'm for anybody not named Trump right now.
Anybody not named Trump.
Anybody not named
RFK? Anybody not named Kennedy?
A Republican not named Trump.
All right, there you go. Paul Ryan of Fox News Channel saying that he's going to be working and going out there and trying to stop Trump from being elected. Chris Christie, cut number seven.
And Donald Trump needs to work for this
if
nomination.
If he becomes the nominee, do y'all become friends again? Does he offer you a cabinet post again? Do y'all clean this up if he becomes the nominee?
I don't think so. I think some of the stuff he's called me over the last few months, I don't think that's going to happen. And that's sad. But it is the truth of the matter, and it's his doing.
But you're not closing the door to voting for him.
I'm saying I can't support him.
You won't vote for him.
I can't support either one of them.
Okay.
Not Biden or Trump, because they're not competent and qualified to be president.
All right. There you go. Chris Christie. There's no way he should be anywhere near a Trump administration. And I will say this, if President Trump is reelected to office, he needs to keep his children and the son-in-law, Jared and Ivanka, as far away from the White House as possible. They don't need to be influencing any sorts of policies. That was a big problem. You know, it wasn't Trump. It was all the people in his circle. A lot of them are leftist. Got to do something about that. All right. Want to play some audio here. This is, yes, here we go. Cut number four, CBS reporting on Joe Biden and his sleeping issues. Cut four.
Back here in Washington, the White House today announced that President Biden is using a device for his sleep apnea. An official said the president has been using a CPAP machine, which stands for continuous positive airway pressure, in order to help improve his breathing during sleep. The information came after reporters noticed these indentations on the president's face this morning caused by the apparatus. According to the American Medical Association, about 30 million Americans suffer from sleep apnea.
So this just started. Joe Biden just now started using the sleep apnea machine. Is that what they're expecting us to believe here? Or is it possible that someone finally said, okay, we can start reporting on the president's medical issues? Seems to me that's a big one, especially for someone his age. My question now is, what else are they not telling us about Joe Biden? What else are they telling us about Biden and his medical issues or his mental capabilities? And there aren't that many capabilities left. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Coming up, Dr. Ben Carson is going to drop by. He has a new children's book out called Freedom of Bark. We're going to tell you all about that. Stick around, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Progressive protects more than just your home and car. You could save when you bundle your motorcycles, ATVs, boats, and RVs. Doesn't that sound good? Like the sound of the wind in the trees as your RV sits parked in the forest. Is that the call of the majestic owl? And there's the sound of a tree branch crashing into the roof of your RV. Oof, I guess their nest was in that branch. But you know what does sound good? You're covered with Progressive. So bundle all your vehicles and home in one place and save with the multi-policy discount. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
All right, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas declared in his opinion today that today the Constitution prevails. And that is good news for the Republic. Welcome back, everybody. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Dr. Ben Carson has a brand new storybook out, his latest children's book called Freedom of Bark. And we're going to talk more about that in just a few moments. But first, we say hello to Dr. Carson. Hope you're doing well today.
Doing well. Always good to be with you.
Dr. Carson, I'd love to get your reaction to the Supreme Court decision that effectively guts affirmative action when dealing with college admissions.
Well, I was very pleased with that. 20 years ago, on February the 24th, 2003, I penned an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal about this very topic. And it was called Compassionate Action. And it basically said that certainly there are people who come from difficult circumstances, and we always try to give them a hand up. But that has nothing to do with race. And to discriminate against people based on race is wrong in the past. It's wrong in the present. It'll be wrong in the future. And we should never do it. None of our policies should be based upon it. Also, you know, it's not helpful to someone if you put them in an environment that they're not prepared for. We need to spend a lot more time concentrating on making sure that people are prepared for, you know, some of the sophisticated and difficult jobs that the future holds.
It's a fair point you raise. And again, I think lost in all the conversation here is we're talking about minority students who are actually being discriminated against by this policy, Asian American students, many of whom were more than qualified but were denied entry into Harvard and UNC simply because of the color of their skin.
Yeah, that's simply un-American. And first of all, it's a racist policy because we should be looking at all Americans, regardless of their ethnic background, the same. And they are Americans, and they are going to help strengthen our nation no matter where they're coming from. But again, I emphasize the fact that we need to be talking about school choice. We need to be talking about those things that put people in a disadvantaged situation and dealing with it on that level, because we do a double wrong when we don't deal with them on that level. And then down the road, we say, well, let's just give this person a position, whether they're qualified for it or not. That's hurting that individual and the society as well.
Dr. Carson, I was reading some of the statements coming in from former President Obama, his wife, others, and they're not talking about equality anymore. They're talking about equity.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You know, everybody should have the same opportunities, and that's what I'm talking about, making sure that we level the playing field in terms of their preparation. The rest of it takes care of itself. I can tell you as a neurosurgeon, you know, when I operate on a brain of somebody from China versus Africa versus Europe versus America, guess what? You can't tell. Once you open the head up, all the brains are the same. That's what's important. It's not the color of the skin, the shape of the nose, or the texture of the hair. We pay way too much attention to those things. We should be much more sophisticated than that.
What is your take on the mood of the country on this particular issue? I mean, if you listen to the media and the politicians, I mean, we're no better off than we were in the years during the Civil War. I mean, it's but I don't see that. And I live in Memphis, yeah, which is a majority black city. So I see a very prosperous black middle class, people doing well with their lives and their families, the church community. What do you see?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, it was a very different America. There's no question about that. In the South, they still had, you know, colored and white drinking fountains. But look at what's going on today. We have black admirals and generals and CEOs of Fortune 500 companies and heads of foundations and university presidents. We've had a black president of the United States. I mean, things have changed dramatically. And, you know, in your day-to-day activities, certainly in mine, I don't encounter any racism. I don't encounter people. But there are those in our society who see everything as racist. No matter what, somebody doesn't hold the door for them. That was racist. Maybe that's just an inconsiderate person. We really just need to move away from that, because it's just not the case anymore.
It's a good word from you today. Thank you for that. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Dr. Ben Carson, has a brand new children's book out. You can find information about the book at littlepatriotslearning.com. That's littlepatriotslearning.com. And Dr. Carson, tell us about the latest book you wrote called Freedom of Bark.
Well, Freedom of Bark is a children's book, obviously, to teach the children the importance of freedom of speech in the First Amendment. We have the Barker family. Traditional family, papa dog, mama dog, children doggies, and helping the children to learn why it is so important, first of all, to express yourself, but also to be respectful of other people and how they express themselves. And we need to learn how to have conversations with each other and find common ground and work together. It's such an important concept. And with all the messages that are coming, particularly from the left, you know, from teachers and some of the books which are obscene, messages coming from Hollywood, we have to put a counterbalance on there. We can't just sit there and complain about it. We have to actively get out there and give the children the foundation that they need to be successful in our society and to be civil.
I was at our local independent bookstore here in Memphis. Love the place. And I noticed that in the children's section, they have all these biographies and storybooks on just about everybody from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to Michelle Obama and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Very few books about patriotism or conservatives. And that's why I think books like yours, Freedom of Bark, is so important, so that boys and girls can read real stories about America and our great freedoms.
Absolutely. And people can go to littlepatriotslearning.com. You can go to Amazon. You can go to AmericanCornerstone.org, order the books. All the proceeds go right back into the program to create more content. And if you go to the Little Patriots Learning website, there's a ton of stuff for the kids there, all kinds of learning materials, animations, beautiful things that will really educate them. And it's all free of charge, by the way, because we've gotten wonderful people to underwrite the cost.
All the more reason for you to go check that out, folks. LittlePatriotsLearning.com. Great storybooks for your children or your grandchildren. And it's a 32-page book for ages 4 to 8 years old. And, Dr. Carson, I'm kind of excited that you guys even include discussion questions for both families and schools.
Absolutely, because we're trying to combat the fact that a lot of people just don't know basic stuff. And if you don't know basic stuff, you're easy to manipulate.
All right. So, again, folks, get yourself a copy of the book free of charge, as Dr. Carson just said, littlepatriotslearning.com. Well, Dr. Carson, we always appreciate you dropping by the show, and congratulations on the new book project.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
All right. There you go. What a great idea. But it is true. I was over at the bookstore, and I'm getting ready to write my next adventure is going to be writing a collection of patriotic children's storybooks. And I was just curious to see what the market looked like. And there is none. Never seen any. It's unbelievable. You go and it's all left leaning. So I'm excited about being able to write a collection of storybooks that will teach kids about some of our patriots, our great patriots who happen to be conservative. All right. I have a question for you. This is a crazy story that's making headlines. So Southwest Airlines, any of you folks fly Southwest Airlines? They have an unusual boarding policy. So no passenger has an assigned seat on Southwest. Instead, you're allowed to board in groups, A, B, or C. And you're given numbers 1 through 60. So basically, the A group boards first, and then in numerical order, followed by a B and C. Man, I fly Delta. We don't do that. Anyway, there are a few exceptions. I guess they have a loyalty plan. So if you've got that, you know, you can board at, you know, any time. And also if you have families with small children or you're active duty military. By the way, we do that on Delta too. And I think that's a cool thing. A military personnel get to board first. But here's the problem. And this is why people are very angry. It also includes passengers who need to use a wheelchair to pre-board, which in and of itself you would think, okay, why is that controversial? If you need a wheelchair, you need a wheelchair. But it turns out that people who don't need a wheelchair are requesting a wheelchair so they can be among the very first to board the airplane. One person shared this message on Twitter: Southwest Airlines, 20 passengers boarded the plane using a wheelchair, and only 3 needed a wheelchair to deplane. So people are fudging. They're lying to get a better seat on board the airplane. And so now Southwest is trying to help people out, and they're reminding people that they need to be honest about whether or not they should use a wheelchair. I forget where I was, and it was a long slog, and I think it was one of these deals where I had to change planes twice. So this was on the final leg, and I forget where I was, but there must have been 30 people, 30 or 40 people that needed to pre-board early. And these are perfectly young, healthy, vibrant people, and the only reason they're bypassing the line, and they would pretend to limp as if they had some sort of a malady, and you knew they were faking it, right? You just knew it. Then once they hit that jetway, they're out of view of the gate agent. Man, they're sprinting down the jetway. Again, this is why I fly Delta. We do not have this problem. But I'm curious, have you guys ever seen that on your plane where people fake it? Now, what about Spirit Airlines? Anybody fly Spirit? I would be afraid to fly Spirit. That's where all the fist fights happen. I can't tell you how many Twitter videos I've seen of people like physically fighting each other on the airplane on Spirit. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I have to tell you about how things are going with the weight loss. It is slow, but it is good. And that's because that's the way it's supposed to be. When I take off a pound, I want to make sure that pound stays away. And fortunately, my good friends over at Calitrin are helping me out. Calitrin is America's number one choice for healthy weight loss and a whole lot more. You say, what is a whole lot more? Number one, it helps me sleep better at night. I'm sleeping 7-8 hours a night ever since I started taking Calitrin. And the other big thing is the knees. My knees are getting a little on up there. And it's helped really take the creakiness out of my knees. But more importantly, Calitrin is helping me lose weight. It is stimulant-free, drug-free. There's none of that. And if you go to toploss.com, that's toploss.com, you're going to find all sorts of great information there for you. You can also call them at 1-800-325-4366. That's 1-800-325-4366, and they're going to give you all sorts of great information about Calitrin. Now, be sure to mention my name, Todd Starnes, and they're going to hook you up with some great discounts. That's Todd Starnes. You can go to toploss.com if you want to order online, or again, give them a call at 1-800-325-4366. We'll be right back, America.
A ver, pónganse para la foto. Mamá, papá, abuelos, tíos, tíos, abuelos, primos en primer y segundo grado, los vecinos. Sí, la concuñada de la vecina también entra con sus 7 niños.
Llévate el poder del iPhone 11 con cámara ultra gran angular por solo $49.99 cuando te cambies a Boost Mobile.
¡Ay, la gente del parque que se está haciendo una carne asada después del fútbol! ¡Vénganse!
Desata tu poder con Boost y el iPhone 11 en las redes 5G más grandes del país.
Requiere verificación de identidad. Solo nuevos clientes y uno por línea. Aplican restricciones adicionales. Visite BoostMobile.com para detalles.
All right, how's your grammar, America? Brian Freeman over at Newsmax has a story up involving a professor at Penn State, Pennsylvania State University. Zach DePiro is an assistant professor of English and composition, and or at least he was from 2018 until 2022. And he is now suing the university. He says that the administration had racially discriminated against him and other white staff members. He said he was forced to grade Hispanic and black students on an easier scale and was subjected to exercises that focused on critical race theory where white staff members were made to feel terrible. Mr. DePiro said that after informing the university of his feelings of discrimination, officials punished him by issuing a bullying and harassment complaint against him, gave him lower scores on his annual performance review. The lawsuit alleges that when he complained about the continuous stream of racial insults directed at white faculty, man, look at them honkies. I'm assuming that's what they said. When they continued with their stream of racial insults directed at white faculty in the writing department, the director of the Affirmative Action Office told him there is a problem with the white race. I'm telling you, kill whitey. That's the whole message here, right? Jeez, hello. The director also said that DePiro should attend anti-racist workshops until he gets it, and that he might have mental issues. The professor was also told that teaching English is racist because the English language is racist. What you be talking about? I'm just saying. When asked for a comment about the lawsuit, Penn State Assistant Vice President for Media told the Daily Mail that Penn State does generally not comment on pending litigation. So there you go. Professor DePero left Penn State due to the hostile work environment last August, now working as an assistant professor of English at Northampton Community College. So I'm not surprised by this. We've heard these reports, and I don't even know if this guy's a conservative or not. He just pretty much sounds probably just a regular old guy here. He's a professor just trying to earn a living, trying to make sure that the kids are going to be able to read and write when they get out of college. You know, a lot of them don't know how to. Did you know that? When the kids, they go to college and they don't know how to read or write. They can't compose a paragraph. It's terrible. I've seen it firsthand. It's not good. So anyway, we wish Mr. DePero the very best. I'm glad he's suing Penn State. But the idea that the English language is somehow racist, I don't know. Are we all supposed to talk like we're in a rap video? Is that what we're supposed to do? I mean, what do they want us to do here? So good luck to you, Mr. Zach DePero, Assistant Professor of English and Composition at Northampton Community College. And I hope he doesn't get in trouble there, but sooner or later they're going to, parsing participles is going to be racist or something. All right, we got to scoot out of here, folks. ToddStearns.com, our website. Congratulations again, America. Great Supreme Court ruling. Thank you, President Donald John Trump. You go, folks, get out there. Have a great day. You folks in Memphis, get a Mem Pop. Put yourself in the freezer. Whew. Do what you can to cool off, America.